this AV stuff going this morning. For the next several weeks, you know, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. You heard Russ this morning talk a lot about being led by the Spirit and a lot of stuff in Daniel about the Spirit. And I'm glad that he took my recommendation on, leading into this class for that. So that was just a complete coincidence. But that's going to be that's such an important part of our everyday life. And I've just kind of been studying this on my own, and I want to, you know, give a warning out there that me trying to talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and scratching the surface of this is like saying I'm getting ready to walk from Nashville, Tennessee to Seattle, Washington, and I've made it 2 miles. I'm not having even gotten out of the neighborhood. So this is just scratching the surface. But I hope where we're going to go is we're going to learn about sort of today. We're going to talk a little bit about the personality of the Holy Spirit, probably for a couple of weeks. Who this person is this spirit is that lives in each one of us, and what we can do to try to tap into that a little bit more. With any religion, I think that all religions could acknowledge that as human beings that we all are composed of a body, a mind, and a soul. I think if we tap into Hindu religion or yoga or just spiritual or crystals, all that stuff that people believe in, I think all of those people would conclude that we all are composed of a body, a mind, and a soul. Well, what makes up the health, our health? Well, we know that our physical health is important. Obviously, we wouldn't be standing here today. We wouldn't be breathing. Our mental health is very important to have a good attitude, a good outlook on life. And, of course, our spiritual health is super important and really can help control these other things. So when we talk about the Trinity, God, who is the Father, God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, what did we learn this was when we were growing up? What was this called? The Holy Ghost. Yeah. Right. So we have Spirit here. This is part of our health. Spirit here, and of course, soul and spirit sort of all intertwined. So these things are people that don't believe that we have a soul or a spirit or just think that we're just here for a while and we die. This sort of contradicts every bit a belief of that. We all have a spirit. And of course, as baptized believers, when we were baptized, we received this gift, the Holy Spirit. So let's talk for several weeks about how to tap into this spirit, this part of God that lives in us. And let's sort of, first of all, we kind of need to learn who he is. So just some fun facts. There are the 39 books in the Old Testament, and 23 of those Old Testament books reference the Holy Spirit. 27 books in the New Testament, we all know. We all learned that in Vacation Bible School, you remember? And it has 250 references to the Holy Spirit. 61 references to the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, 132 in the Epistles and Revelations, and 57 in the book of Acts. Just fun facts for you. The only New Testament books that don't even mention the Holy Spirit are Philemon, 2 John, and 3 John. So you can tell the Spirit is mentioned a lot throughout the whole Bible, but really a whole lot in the New Testament as well. So who is this Holy Spirit that lives within us. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lived with you, and he will be in you. Now, I'm sure that everybody throughout their life, as long the world is, or, you know, the world is the worst it's ever been, or, but certainly in this time, I think we can clearly say that the United States or the world is certainly moved past the "in God we trust" phase, because I think we've kind of, our government now may even not even recognize it anymore, because God is interfering on, he's inner the spiritual life, and your beliefs are interfering on human rights. It's just so backwards. Now, what the Holy Spirit is not? Well, it's not a magical force or a power. It's not referred to as an it. It is referred to as he in the Bible. The Spirit is not a feeling or a human attitude. Now, we have some myths about what it means to live by the Spirit. If we were singing one Sunday morning and we're all standing and singing, and Mark Hayes rushes the stage and he's flailing his arms and he's yelling gibberish and all this stuff. And yeah, and he goes up and he grabs Anthony's hands and he grabs the microphone and starts all these Elvis moves that he's, you know, practiced, and just church is over and we go to Olive Garden and we run into Michael Barnett. Michael, what'd you think about church this morning? Well, did you see Mark? Well, yeah, I mean, the Holy Spirit really hit him this morning. Well, that's not, he just doesn't hit us all at once. He lives in us. So it's not speaking in tongues. We don't get the tingles. I think we all, I mean, when I sing and I look at those words, sure, I get some chills down my spine, but that's an emotional experience of a gratefulness and a gratitude that what the Lord has done for me. And we don't, maybe we go through and we say, well, I've had a couple of spiritual experiences in my life where I felt different. And yet it's not just a feeling where all of a sudden the Holy Spirit has just shown up today. He just moved in. I think we can extinguish the Spirit, or we can throw gas on the Spirit to make him more alive in us. So let's look at some traits, the Holy Spirit's personality. He's a divine person. And the Scripture refers to him and uses personal pronouns of me and I and he. The Holy Spirit is divine and has all the characteristics of God. He is God. The Greek word for Spirit is pneuma, which means wind or breath, spirit or soul, and neither of these is found in the New Testament. The Hebrew word for Spirit is ruach, I think that's how it's pronounced, and it's found in the Old Testament. Pneuma, when you have a collapsed lung, that's pneumothorax, meaning air, wind, so that's sort of where that word is derived from too, wind, spirit. So he is intelligent. He is generous. He has emotions. He can be lied to. He can be grieved, and he can be quenched. He can also be resisted. He can be blasphemed. He leads us. He witnesses to us, and he helps us. So the Holy Spirit, as an intellect, with his intellectual properties and wisdom, meaning that he is omniscient. He is all-knowing. In John 14, 26, but the Counselor, someone who we go to for advice, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He's generous. He has a plan for us. He has a will and a plan for each one of us. He's blessed each of us with many things in life already. He has purpose for us, and He distributes spiritual gifts to each one of us as He wills. None of us have the same talent. Some are gifted in serving in different ways, singing, teaching. Some are cooking and sewing and taking care of people who are sick. There's just a variety of ways to serve and different gifts that He gives each of us. There are different gifts different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So your spiritual gifts, and maybe you don't know what they are. Maybe you can study and help figure that out. But the Lord has given you, the Holy Spirit has given you a gift, a spiritual gift, to be able to serve. The Spirit has a will, and He calls us for special service. And Acts 13:2 says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. So the Holy Spirit not only had a plan for them, but He also had a direction He wanted them to go as well. He has emotions. The Holy Spirit has feelings, and divine feelings are different than human passions. When we are sad or we're happy or we're angry, God's anger and God's hatred and God's joy and sorrow and God's wrath are very different than the feelings that we have. He doesn't just react to various types of stimuli with emotion due to various circumstances. A lot of times we react emotionally to based on our circumstances. That's our humanness. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And the Spirit can be lied to. Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. Spirit can grieve, yet they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, Isaiah 63:10. The Spirit can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. The NIV says, do not put out the Spirit's fire with us. We can resist the Spirit that's trying to lead us. Acts 7:51 says, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. What is blasphemy? To speak in a way that shows irreverence for God or something that is sacred. To utter blasphemy, saying something concerning God that is disrespectful, profane, of contemptuous speech, writing, or action concerning God or anything held as divine. I think we hear a lot of blasphemy today. Have you heard anybody say during the COVID crisis or any of these troubling times we're in right now, say, well, where's God now? Where is He now? An example of blasphemy is when John Lennon said the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. Now, that was on Google, believe it or not. When I was researching blasphemy, this was the example they gave, that John Lennon was a blasphemer. And maybe that was true at the time, but certainly blasphemy. Matthew 12:31 says, "So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven." That's kind of scary. And I hope I've never done that. I surely don't remember, but I hope I've never done that. The Spirit leads us and witness to us. He has a ministry. Romans 8:14-16 says, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with your spirit that we're God's children. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Now, we could end right there today and just say, you have an inheritance. We all have an inheritance waiting on us. We hope when our parents die, they're going to leave us a little something, right? You know, just to help with the bills. But can you imagine the inheritance that the Lord has waiting for us? We are his children. When we all have feelings that from time to time, that maybe we don't feel loved or we don't feel appreciated, all we need to do is read this right here. We are heirs to a unimaginable place that we're going, an inheritance that we can't even fathom. 1 Corinthians 2:19. So that's what the scripture means when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined even what God has prepared for those who love him." But it was us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's own thoughts except God's own spirit. And we've received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. Now, don't you want to tap into that? If we could, by no means have I figured out how to do it, but I certainly, it's through his word and his wisdom. But can you imagine? I mean, this says that we have some of God's wisdom in us through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps us. It helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for sometimes, but the Holy Spirit prays with us groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So sometimes, you know, when you pray, you don't even, maybe things are bad, circumstances are bad, circumstances are good. You really don't have any problems. You don't really know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit groans in words that cannot be expressed on our behalf to the Father, so that he knows what we need. Maybe we don't. The Spirit intercedes for us. To intercede is to intervene between two parties with a view to reconcile differences, to be a mediator, to help people try and work out their differences to achieve something. We're human. If you live in the same house with somebody else, you're going to have a different opinion than they do. What color are we going to paint the walls? Are we going to put up curtains? Well, And even further than that, you know, one squeezes a toothpaste from the wrong end. But if, when in critical times, in serious communication problems and ways we can't get along, we need a mediator. And even when we have sinned, we need a mediator to go to the Father for us, because of, as sinners, or when we sin, we can't be in the presence of perfection, which is the Father. So we need a spirit that intercedes for us, that can go to the Father and can plead our behalf and our wrong. Who's our attorney when we stand at the judgment? And we're standing before the Father. He has his gavel there. Larry Souder. Who is Larry Souder's attorney that's going to be standing there with him? Who is it? Jesus. He's going to be standing there and saying, I've got this. Larry Souder is covered. He's going to do that for each one of us if we continue to be faithful and continue to believe and trust and worship and follow his lead. That just should be a comforting thing to all of us. And the Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. For example, we don't know what to pray for again, but God wants to pray for. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. That's such an important scripture. The deity of God, the divine creator, and the supreme being, God. The Holy Spirit, that's who he is. He's deity. And the scripture links the Holy Spirit by name and nature with two other persons of the Holy Trinity, and that's who we have up here, God, the Spirit of God, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As to the Holy Spirit, if he's not fully God, now this is from John Feinberg, who is a theologian, and he was a teacher at the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and this is a quote from him. He says, as to the Holy Spirit, if he's not fully God, the implications for salvation are again serious. Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit regenerates believers and indwells and fills them. But if the Holy Spirit is a lesser God or no God at all, how can we be sure that he can do any of these things? Moreover, unless he is co-equal in being and purpose with the Father and the Son, what guarantees that even if he tried to do such things, the Father and the Son would recognize his actions as appropriate and relate to us accordingly? So, this is evidence, or a statement of evidence that says that God and the Holy Spirit are the same. The Holy Spirit is the third of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is three persons, and each person is fully God. There is one God. One of the most troubling conversations that I ever sat at one time was a person that said, can you believe this God says that he can be three people at one time? Yeah, he can. That's why he's God. What does the Quran say about the Holy Trinity? From the book of Surah, which I don't even know what that is, it says, people of the book, which is referring to Christian people, do not transgress the bounds of your religion. Speak nothing but the truth about Allah. The Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than Allah's apostle in his word which he cast to Mary, a spirit from him. So believe in Allah and his apostles and do not say three. Allah is but one God. Allah forbids that he should have a son. So Jesus, in the Quran, it just says that Jesus was nothing more than an apostle. Where does the Bible say that the Holy Spirit is God? The Spirit is identified with God and linked to God in the Great Commission, which we're all familiar with. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Let's look at another portion of that. The Spirit is again linked with God and the Son here. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the Old Testament, where it references the Holy Spirit and God, in Exodus 17:7, it says, "And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" Hebrews 3:7 is sort of the answer with that. It says, "So as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years, says what I did." Isaiah 6:8-9, I didn't type that out, but I've got it right here. It says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.' He said, 'Go and tell this to the people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving.'" So these scriptures are not really prophecy, but it's the scriptures are here is the result of what this scripture said. So the result of that is in Hebrews 10, and it says the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And we, with the unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed in his likeness with every increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is his Spirit. So we, as we continue to try to tap into the Holy Spirit that is within us, and we are trying to, the Lord's glory will be shown through us, and we'll be transferred to be able to be more like Jesus. Again, the Spirit can be lied to. Then Peter said to Ananias, "Have you let Satan fill your heart?" And this is when he kept the money. And the Spirit lives in us, and here's the testimony for that. "Don't you know that yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." So what is God's temple? What we're in now? This building? What are we? We are God's temple. This body. That's why it's important for us to take care of the temple. How much are we time? Are we at 11? Okay. We will end with this right here. That the Spirit has a relationship with each of us. He relates to you because we're believers, and he indwells within all of us. This would be a good one to go home on. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you at a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Hope you have a good week, and we'll close with a prayer. We'll come back and we'll pick up next week with some more personality traits of the Holy Spirit, and we'll keep pressing on. Holy Father, we thank you so much for letting us come to worship today. I'm not sure, Father, in years to come, if that will even be possible with the way our country's going now, but we sure appreciate you letting us come together and worship collectively, Father. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives within each one of us, Lord. And we just thank you for that gift. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to figure out how to tap into your power through him, Father. And we ask you to forgive us for our sins. We ask you to give us a good week this week, Father, and just bless us and help us to have a good attitude, Father, and just be grateful for all the gifts that you've given us and the talents that you've given us with good health and finances, Father, to be able to do better than a lot of the world, Father. Thank you so much for Jesus. In his name, amen.